All right. Let's pray as we open God's word together this morning. Lord, I am so thankful this morning for your word of truth. And I thank you, Lord, knowing that your word will speak truth into our life this morning. So, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, open our eyes, open our ears, and open our hearts to reveal what a life of thanksgiving and gratitude and praise looks like for us. In your name we pray. Amen. So have you ever forgotten to say thank you for something that was done for you or something that was given to you? This morning we're going to talk about the moment of realization, that moment where we recognize that there is an opportunity to give thanks. And I'm sure in our lives we've had moments where we haven't taken the opportunity for various reasons. And today, as we give thanks, I want us to live in a moment of pause together as a community of faith. We are so blessed. There are just so many things that we can, on a day like Thanksgiving, take note of and express gratitude for. But I want us to think about the days other than Thanksgiving Day. That's why I want to read the story of Luke chapter 17. Because I find it curious, and I find it provides for us an opportunity to examine that moment of gratitude. Because the story doesn't take place on Thanksgiving Day, it takes place on a random, unspecified day in the life of Jesus and his disciples, and there's a significant teaching moment in it. So if you have your Bibles open to the book of Luke, chapter 17, starting at verse 11. 10 healed of leprosy. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." I first want to make a couple of observations from the text. The first one is that Jesus seems to be traveling on the border between Samaria and Galilee. That means that there are multiple people groups around him and his disciples, Samaritans, Jews, Gentiles. The next observation is Jesus enters into a town, and on the outskirts of town, he encounters 10 lepers. We know that lepers would have had to have remained outside of the city gates because of their communicable disease, because they were contagious, or so the thought was then. So these lepers stand at a distance because they're not allowed too close to people, and they're calling for Jesus to have pity on them, and Jesus has pity on them. And he tells them to go and show themselves to the priest in order for them to be verified as clean so they can rejoin community. Now, the actual process of being determined clean would have taken about 7 to 8 days. It would have involved 2 birds, sacrifices, several trips to the barber, several trips to the laundromat, all to get to a place where you can go visit the priest again so that he can dab some blood on your right earlobe, your right thumb, and your right big toe. Crazy! It's totally true. Leviticus chapter 14, you should read it. It's crazy. But it all starts with a visit to the priest, who would look at your physical condition and then determine if you were healthy enough to begin that process to be allowed back into community. And Jesus says, "Go and see the priest." I don't know how the healing happened. I don't know if it happened right away or if it happened while they were walking to the priest or happened in a moment right when they stood in front of the priest. Regardless of the process, healing took place. And in a particular moment, one of those lepers, who happens to be a Samaritan, who already happens to be considered less than human among the Jews, happens to have a moment of realization of gratitude, and he goes back to give Jesus thanks. He takes a moment to give thanks. Jesus then asks, where are the other nine? He makes an observation about the difference between the one and the nine. Now, Luke, the gospel writer, takes a moment to specify that the man that returned was a Samaritan, which is really important because it's one of those moments in the gospel of Luke where scholars say Luke is being very obvious about his concern that the Gentiles see that the good news of Jesus Christ is as much for the Gentiles as it is for the Jews. He's in fact taking a moment right now to highlight that the Holy Spirit is at work among Gentiles, which is a kind of a shocking thing to be thinking about at this stage of the New Testament. And Jesus, in this response, we actually learn a few things about thanksgiving. We know that thanksgiving is an act of worship because Jesus says that there's no one found to return and give praise to God. We also know from Jesus' last statement that thanksgiving is an issue of faith and not simply what we would just recall, mention as good manners. And our focus this morning is on what happens between verses 14 and 15, where it says, they went and were cleansed. I want us to wonder what's taking place in that moment and in the mind of the Samaritan who comes back and give thanks, and what's happening perhaps in the moment and in the mind of the nine who don't come back and give thanks. So in preparation for this message, I wanted to ask myself and search deeply in my heart if I've ever neglected or forgotten to give thanks for something. Maybe you're thinking, oh, that's a pretty simple assignment. Yep, you have. And yep, I have forgotten to give thanks. But the thing that kind of like frustrates me the most is that I can't remember all of those instances where I've forgotten to give thanks. I have a feeling my wife might remember some of them, but I don't. But there's a moment I had a couple of months ago where I was dealing with some regular parenting stuff, and I had one of those rare moments of maturity and thought, and a thought came to me. I kind of had a moment of shock and realization. Have I ever taken the time to thank my own parents for parenting me? For putting up with the immature, ridiculous things I did as a teenager and as a child? I realized in that moment that I'm certain I have at some point thanked my parents. I'm sure on like Mother's Day or Father's Day, I wrote a card and I had those kinds of words of appreciation and thankfulness for the sacrifices they made. I'm pretty sure that I've even said it to my parents at some point verbally. But in that moment, I was unsure because I was just super grateful for all that they had done. At the same time, I was aware of the reality of what I put them through as a kid and what I go through as a parent right now. I think I wrestled with whether I'd forgotten or not because the majority of the times that I'd given thanks to my parents, it was in a moment of expectation, right? Because on Mother's Day and Father's Day, you're expected to write those things in a card. And another reason I was in the midst of that tension is because I was raised, and maybe it's the same for you, in a family, in a polite culture, in a polite society, we are raised to give thanks. So it's a natural expectation for us. Yet in that moment of wonder I encountered a few months ago, I wondered if I have ever really done it without having to do it, without the expectation to do it. So yesterday, when I was with my parents, I said it. Again, without feeling I needed to, without a day telling me, but because I remembered that moment I encountered a couple of months ago. But that moment of wonder brought to mind two things that I think often distract us from giving thanks or being in that moment. And there are many distractions to giving thanks. I just want to say that there's a whole long list of things that can distract us from giving thanks. But this morning I want to pay particular attention to two things. We can be distracted by self-actualization. That's a psychology term, which basically means a belief in ourselves. Or another way to put it is that self-actualization is the visualization of living into our own potential. With an increase of people seeing life coaches and counselors, and let me just say life coaches and counselors are critical support people in our lives for goal setting, for working through different challenges in our life. But there's also an increase in the practice of self-actualization. Now, I don't think self-actualization is necessarily a bad thing. to help people instill a drive to see themselves succeed is often and mostly a positive thing. But self-actualization isn't just a reality that lives neutrally in our culture and in our world. In a culture where we are already so individualistic and, dare I say, narcissistic, when the priority of self is already so highly valued, self-actualization can sometimes be a barrier to thankfulness. The reason I believe it can be a barrier is that we begin to believe that the things that we receive or the things that are beneficial to us happen to us as a result of our own awesomeness or a result of our own strengths or gifts or talents or skills that we have. We can begin to easily believe that this is evidence of our own ability to pull ourselves up, try harder, pull ourselves up from the bootstraps and just be awesome individuals. I think in those moments of tension, when we're in danger of forgetting to be thankful, self-actualization can prevent us from recognizing that moment in which we must give God thanks and praise. In a world where we're often in danger of idolizing ourselves, the last thing we need to believe is that we are our own God, that we have been given grace and mercy because we have actually actualized our own awesomeness. When really, this very story highlights grace in a way that should make it impossible to conclude anything other than God in his Son as a gracious, merciful Savior. When we turn back to the story, I think the Samaritan had the moment of realization. He was a hated and despised Samaritan, a foreigner, a person who was seen as the Jews of having no value, certainly not considered to be first in line for God's grace, and yet he receives Jesus' radical grace. And yet, he's the only one that comes back to give God praise for it. There was nothing that Samaritan could do to heal himself. He knew that it was all God, and in that moment, he stopped in his tracks, turned 180 degrees from the direction in which he was going, and came back to give Jesus praise. The second distraction is our stuff. By stuff, I mean our things, our status, our relationships. You know what I would have been like if I had leprosy? I would have been miserable. Leprosy is a disease that affects your nerve endings, your breathing, your sight. It's a contagious disease, or in those days you'd have to live at the edge of town so you didn't infect other people. You'd be dealing with some kind of physical problem. You'd either be missing a hand or a foot, or your nose would be falling off. You may have no eyesight. You may have difficulty breathing. You'd miss your friends and your family, and you couldn't be with them. So if I had leprosy and I was suffering, I'd be thinking of what I'd rather be doing. What could I be doing instead of suffering? Like being at home, taking a nice bath, eating a meal with my family, sleeping in a comfy bed, hugging my wife and kids. Basically, I'd be thinking of all the things that I can't have and don't have. I say that because maybe, just maybe, that's what the other nine were thinking. Maybe they forgot to say thanks because they were thinking about the first thing they would do if they were cleansed. Like maybe one of the nine said, the first thing I do after the priest says I'm clean is I'm going to go to McDonald's, order two Big Macs and a large Coke. I'm going to sit in the middle of that restaurant. I'm just going to eat it all. And no one's going to say to me, hey, leper, get out of here. Or maybe one of the nine was thinking in their mind, the first thing I'm going to do after I see the priest and he says I'm clean is I'm going to go home and pick up my kids and I'm just going to hug them because I haven't been able to do that for oh so long. And I get that because that's what I would do. And I do that all the time. I don't have leprosy. I'm thankful for that. But I don't need leprosy to be constantly thinking about what I don't have and what I want and what I think I need. I think that our stuff, our status, and our relationships are sometimes a distraction to thankfulness. And Nathan touched on that yesterday, saying that if you're not happy with that, without that thing that you really, really want, you're not going to be happy with it either. We can get so wrapped up in what we don't have but we can also get wrapped up in what we do have and what we've been given, that we forget to give thanks. And imagine those nine lepers were so stoked about healing that in their elation, they just forgot. And I get it, because I'd be running around handing out free hugs to anyone I possibly could. I'm just a huggy kind of guy, I guess. But it's easy to imagine that, because I think we can understand that distraction. Because we benefit from God's grace every single day. We benefit from his mercy every single day. And how often are we intentionally seeking out Jesus and giving him praise for it? Probably not as often as we ought to be. We may tend to believe that if we are in the same situation as the lepers in Luke 17, that we would be the one that came back. But I can tell you that Luke is hoping that we would find ourselves in the nine who did not. Here's why. Because like the nine Jews that were distracted by stuff, status, and relationships, they were distracted. And that's what's so crazy about the story. Because you'd think that the Jews who were considered most loved by God, the ones that were closest to God, as the ones that would be most thankful to God for their rescue from the misery of leprosy, but they weren't. They were distracted by something else. They were distracted by the now, by what was in the moment, the healing, the new realities, the things that they could now do because they were healed. They were already saved. Probably that day, the 10 lepers were together doing sacrifices, repenting. They were already God's chosen people, so it kind of makes sense that God should act in their benefit. Yee! It's a dangerous reality to begin to believe that we deserve God's grace. Our stuff, our status, our relationships can be gifts from God, but they can also become our gods. They can become the focus of our worship. Instead of thanking God for the blessings that he has given us, we can just be thankful for our stuff. An attitude of gratitude is great, but if thanksgiving is also an act of worship, then the question this morning needs to be, where is our worship focused? If we're not thanking God for our things, then what are we worshiping? Sometimes we're just simply praising those things. And I'm going to use a parenting analogy in closing here. In attachment therapy, a parent provides for their children to create a dependence relationship so that the children would trust us to soothe them and to provide for them. A parent holds onto a plate of food, maybe it's breakfast, and waits for the child to look at them and say thank you before the parent lets go of the plate. So that attachment connection is made, so that the dependent relationship is bonded and cemented in that moment. Their breakfast is purchased, made, and served by the parent, and there's a natural appreciation and adoration that is due them for that service. Now, we most often pay no attention to that transaction, especially as the child, which is why in my mid-40s, I had that moment of awestruck appreciation from my own parents. Oh, man. They were such serving parents, such gracious parents. How did they ever put up with me? It's not that our parents are meant to be a replacement God for children. It's that we are meant to be strengthened in relationship through thanksgiving. The question then is, what relationship were the nine lepers strengthening when they did not go back and give thanks to Jesus for their healing? They were simply strengthening their relationship with the here and the now, the stuff of life, and not the giver and the sustainer of life. Ultimately, this lesson is probably why Luke includes the story in his gospel. Because the people who should have been ecstatic about the healing and the salvation that Jesus Christ brings, that being the Jews, did not even recognize him as the Messiah that they had longed for. So this Thanksgiving, take the time to give God praise. It's good for us to just generally be thankful for things, but it's significant for us to take a moment and give God praise and God thanksgiving for the things that we are thankful for. Let thanksgiving and gratitude to God be your worship, as it was for the man who took the time to glorify God for his salvation. So what I'd like to do right now, instead of closing this message just with an amen, I'd like to ask Justin and Jacob to take these microphones and to go around the auditorium and to hear you, the community of Christ, share with us things that you want to give God thanks for. So maybe start your sentence, "I want to thank God for," and then just share with us what you're thankful for. Just take it a moment to think about that, and then just raise your hand and a microphone will come to you.
I want to thank God for Joel and Isabel's little Matthew, that he is doing so well. I thank God for that, and I thank God for giving them this congregation who supported them so wonderfully as well. Mm.
I want to thank God for forgiveness.
I want to thank God for being able to have a Christian education and without being in fear of being judged based on my faith and beliefs.
Awesome.
I want to thank God for my family and also my church family. And believe me, I love you all. Thank you.
Believe you, Leo. Other things we want to thank God for this morning.
I'm thankful for being a Christian.
I'm thankful for soccer.
That's my boy.
I want to thank God for a loving family.
And I'm thankful for home care workers that help support aging parents.
I'm thankful for my daughter and son-in-law. They came home from Mexico, gave up all their stuff, and came back, and then he didn't have a job, they didn't have a house, they had nowhere to go. But God provided a job which he's very happy in. They have a house they're renting, so I'm very thankful.
Praise God.
I'm thankful for my beautiful daughter, Rachel. It's her birthday today. She's 30 years old, and she's the second favorite woman in my life. she's also pregnant, so I pray for a good pregnancy.
All right, I'll take those microphones back. I'd like to continue our time of thanksgiving by taking our offering. Our offering this morning is for the food bank, and so we can bring our gifts forward as we take the offering, and also there'll be a basket that goes around for the food bank as well, taking an offering for the food bank. So we'd like to ask you to give generously to that. Let me pray for that offering, and I'd like to call our ushers forward to take that offering. Lord, I thank you. You are so good. With thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, we are so grateful for everything that you provide for us. And Lord, even in this moment, we confess to you where there are moments where we don't give you praise for the good things that have happened in our life. We may strike them up as just random or just naturally occurring blessings, and we don't recognize you as the giver of those good gifts. To hear our confession this morning and receive our praise. And Lord, we thank you for the work of the food bank. We thank you, Lord, for the way that they provide for so many people's just basic needs. Thank you, Lord, for a moment where we can share and give gifts so that they would be a blessing to many. So I pray, Lord, that you would multiply this physical offering of food and this offering of finances for the food bank as well. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's call the ushers forward to take that offering. Thank you again for joining us this morning for a Thanksgiving service. And as you head home, maybe you'll be sharing a Thanksgiving meal with family and friends. Just take a moment to live in gratitude to God for all that we have been blessed with and given today. So I'd like to ask you to stand and receive God's blessing this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you. May he be gracious to you. May he turn his face of love towards you and give you his shalom. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's close with one last song. Thank you.
song of praise with an outstretched arm. I will bless your name with a grateful heart. Thanksgiving Day. Enjoy. Go with praise in your heart for Thanksgiving.